name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. O Almighty and merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your testimonies are righteous forever. Righteous are you, O Lord. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness. My zeal consumes me. Your promise is well tried. Your righteousness is righteous forever. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Lord be with you. Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, keep your church in your perpetual mercy. And because without you we cannot but fall, preserve us from all things hurtful and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Amos chapter 4, beginning with chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For fear of the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Our epistle reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with upbraided hair and gold and pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman who was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the fifth chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little way from land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the great catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now let us confess our sin by reciting the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the people said, Amen. Well, we're going to look at Jesus' beginning of his ministry here. Of course, he's beginning to call some of his disciples. It's not been long. Of course, preceding this, Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, and they rejected him. I don't know if you thought about it, but Jesus is probably the most rejected person in all of history. here, this is God in human flesh. You know, he's the creator, in essence, of all things. God has come in human flesh, and even his hometown doesn't receive him. And so he goes then to the town of Capernaum on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it may be a little confusing, like when we read it here. It says Lake Gennesaret, and there are names are kind of sometimes confusing in the Bible because there's more than one name to a place or a person a lot of times. And that's the case here because this is the Sea of Galilee, but of course it's called in Luke Lake Gennesaret. And it's also called Lake Tiberias, later at least. And so, but it's all the same place. It's actually the lowest freshwater lake on the face of the earth. It's hundreds of feet below sea level. And of course, then it goes down from there, and the Dead Sea is the lowest place on the face of the earth. It's several hundred feet lower than the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus goes up to Capernaum, and it's always interesting to think, why did he go there? And we don't have an answer for that in the scriptures. We can speculate a little bit, but you know, I think perhaps this isn't gospel truth, but perhaps he worked there. You know, after all, he's called a carpenter. That's not really what the word means in Greek. The word is tekton. It's actually where we get the word technician, or the word architect is derived from tekton. And so tekton means builder. Not, it's more generic than, or technician, it's more generic. And so, it's always interesting to think, what did Jesus do, you know, in the time between training as a tekton, as a carpenter or builder, whatever you want to term you want to use for it, and what did he do between being trained, we assume, by his father, you know, or, you know, stepfather, Joseph, and when he starts his ministry at about the age of 30. And, you know, one thing I like to think about, speculate, is that maybe he helped to build the synagogue at Capernaum. You know how it is if you're a builder. You know, I had an uncle who was an industrial electrician, and that's what he would do. He would move about every 2 or 3 years because what he did, his job actually, was wiring these big power plants. And so he would go to a power plant, and he'd work there maybe 2 or 3 years, and then he'd have to move sometimes across the country to another power plant to build it. And you know, it's probably similar with that with Joseph. For instance, why did Joseph and Mary and Jesus end up in Nazareth? Well, I think perhaps one reason is because Sepphoris, the capital of Galilee, was only 3 miles from Nazareth. And so Nazareth was kind of a suburb of there, and they had a huge building project going on. Herod Antipas was really building up that capital. And then Herod Antipas, he liked to build things like his father, Herod the Great, not so great, I guess you could say, but and so then he decided, well, you know something, I'd like a new capital. And so then he decided to build a new capital at Tiberias on the Sea of Galilee. And so Capernaum is only about 8-10 miles north of Tiberias. And so there's a lot of building going along there. Also at Capernaum, there's the main highway that goes right through there, the Via Maris, the road by the sea that connects Egypt and Mesopotamia goes through Capernaum. And so it's all speculation, but it's interesting to think, why did Jesus select that? I think that might be one reason, is because it's on the main highway, you know. And so he goes up to Capernaum, and he's there, and I suspect he knew Peter, James, and John, and Andrew considerable time before this takes place. I mean, it was an acquaintance. He goes there and he's preaching. He sees the boats by the Sea of Galilee, and he asks Peter to kind of go out from shore a little bit. It's a natural amphitheater, you know, when you go out on a lake. Have you ever been out on a lake and and you're across, and it's really quiet, and you can hear sometimes what people are saying across the lake because it comes across the water. And so I think that's what Jesus was doing here. He has Peter put out away from the people. There's a big crowd here. They're crushing in. So he can sit out in the boat and speak. They can all hear. They're not crushing in on him. So he preaches the gospel. And, of course, they're done for the day before he ever started speaking. They're cleaning their nets, which means they're done for the day. Because have any fishermen here? Anybody that fishes here? You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, when you go fishing, do you go at noontime? At least from my experience, you don't. You go before dawn, even. You go out in the early times if you want to catch fish, right? That's when they're biting. And so that's what they did on the Sea of Galilee. They'd go out there maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning. They'd go out there, for one thing, because the fish come into shore as it gets cooler. See, they come in to close to the shore. And so 3 o'clock in the morning, then you can go get them. But then when it's really hot, you know, and I mean, Sea of Galilee is pretty hot. It's not that much different than Texas. You know, I mean, it's warm. It's hot. You know, and so when it gets hot, the fish go out into the middle of the lake and, you know, go down deep to try to keep cooler. And so they're done for the day, and Jesus has been preaching, or you know, and telling the gospel to them, and then he tells Simon, "Well, you know, all right, now we're done. Now let me do something for you, Peter. Let's have you and your partners in the other boat. These boats can hold about 12 people if you pack them up. You know, at most 12 people." With nothing else in it. And so it looks like this little partnership's got two of these boats. Actually, just a little side note, if you go to the Sea of Galilee today, you can see one of those boats. They actually found one in the mud a number of years ago, and it was preserved in the mud. And they carefully took it out, and they preserved it, and it's in its own little museum on the Sea of Galilee today. And you can, and that dates back to Jesus' time. And you can see the size of it. It's, you know, can seat maybe 12 if you really squeezed people in. So you've got these two boats out there, and Jesus says, "Well, let out your net." And Peter's scratching his head and saying, "Why do you want us to do that? This is the middle of the day. We didn't catch a thing during the night when we're supposed to." But Jesus, because you say it, I'll do it. I'll let out the net, even though it seems crazy, absolutely crazy, out in the middle, where they should be down deep. And they fill up all the nets to the point where they're breaking. They take in the fish to the point where the two boats are practically sinking. And you know what I think we should take from that? One of the key things, is that, you know, we may be having tough times. We may be having trouble in our lives, or we may be having trouble in the world. Yeah, the world's a mess, isn't it? But then, to some degree or another, the world's always a mess. And things get us down, whether it's our own personal ailments, or our own personal challenges, or the fact that the crops failed this year, or that we're in a drought, or that we're not catching fish, or whatever the case may be, our family's got trouble, we've got financial trouble, things are bad on the job, whatever the case may be. And we get really down sometimes. And we get to thinking it's hopeless. And as Christians, we should never feel that way. We should look to Jesus and see he's got control of everything. There's nothing that's impossible for him. He can even make the fish come and be caught. And you know, that's one of the things about Jesus. When we look at Jesus' life, a lot of times we look at his miracles and we just kind of lump them all together, don't we? We think they're all the same. Well, they're not all the same. Because Jesus is showing that he has authority and power over absolutely everything, even the fish, even the storms. He can walk on the water. He can raise the dead. And so part of the lesson of the gospel, or even the main lesson, is that there's no such thing as hopelessness in Christ. Christ is the answer. Christ is the Savior. He's the Savior of all things. He can do anything. He will get us through the storms of life. He will get us through not catching fish. He will get us through the droughts. He'll get us through whatever we're going through in our lives. And that's what we should keep in mind when we're going through these things. And so Peter and his other partners are there, the Peter, James, and John, and then Andrew's the fourth one. They see Jesus' authority. They see Jesus' power. And Jesus tells Simon, from now on you will be catching people. And one thing I want us to really notice is that Peter's reaction is right. When he sees the great catch of fish, instead of having any other reaction, instead of jumping up and down with joy even, he's overcome with awe. And he realizes that he's in the presence of God in some sense. He may not fully understand, I don't think he does at this point, who Jesus is. But his response is that, oh, but I'm a sinful man, depart from me, I'm not worthy. Boy, that's the opposite of the world, isn't it? The world wants to, you know, strut out its chest, and it tells you, be prideful all the time. But Peter is humble. He's humbled by this. And he falls at Jesus' knees. And he sees, in a sense, salvation. That's what Jesus is doing. He's presenting the gospel in power and authority and in miracles and in word. Turn to Jesus. Whenever you're facing a hard day, a hard time, a difficult time, remember, Jesus truly is. Maybe a kind of trite saying, but Jesus truly is the answer. Amen. Now let us worship God with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us join together in prayer. The Apostle Paul instructs us, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Rejoicing in Christ's salvation offered to all, let us call upon God our Father for ourselves and for all people. Kind Father, your Son declared to us that we cannot serve you and also be devoted to money. Free all your baptized children from obsession with the goods of this world, that they may set their hearts on the joys of the kingdom and the inheritance that never fades. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you entrust to your people the abundant wealth of Christ's salvation in your word and sacraments. Bless pastors that they might be faithful stewards of these mysteries, and grant that all your people would make proper use of your means of grace and rejoice in your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Maker of heaven and earth, you have created man and woman for different offices and with different gifts, that they might complement one another and glorify you. Grant that in our homes and congregations, your people might rejoice in the callings you have given them. Lord, in your mercy. God, our Savior, uphold Joseph, our president, our governor, and all whom you have placed in high positions with wisdom and mercy, that we may lead peaceable and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, be with the sick and those who suffer, those troubled in mind, those grieving in their sorrows, and the dying in their last hours. Lord, especially this day, we lift up to you everyone in this congregation who are struggling, who have special needs, who have ailments. We lift up to you, Lord, those who are having all kinds of pains, whether it's in the back or having trouble walking, knees, all the other ailments, whether they're chronic or things, Lord, that they may be dealing with anew. We lift up to you all these concerns. We lift up to you, Lord, all of our families. We pray that you would touch them and help them. We lift up to you this community, and we pray that you would bless this town and this county. Help it to be a place that really glorifies you and pour out your spirit upon this place, Lord. We pray your strength upon this congregation. Lead it anew, Lord. Give it direction for the future. We just pray that you would bless it and bless each and every member here. Help them, Lord, we pray. Grant them the comfort of your presence, relief according to your will, and peace in their hearts, Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, your Son gave himself as a ransom for all and now gives himself to us that we might have life and salvation. Give us unity and faith and hearts eager for mercy as we receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, you desire all to be saved. Remember your foes who forget your word and call them to repentance and faith, that they also would receive in your righteousness and salvation, or rejoice in your righteousness and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for you have forgiven our debt of sin for the sake of Jesus. Preserve us in his grace and life until that day when you gather us to be among the saints in glory around your throne, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, that with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit, our one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Go in peace in the knowledge of your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Receive the body of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and lead you and guide you from this day forward. Amen. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Go in peace. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Go in peace. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this meal that you have presented to us. I'm sorry. 201. 201, okay. truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times. No, that's not it. Let's see. All right. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And the people said, children, with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own. Go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Here you learned how much I love you, what I can cure. Here you heard my dear son's story, here you touched him, saw his glory. Go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Go, my children. Spirit.